Blog Talk Radio.
I'm hello,
world.
Fucking wine.
Blog Talk Radio.
Jeffrey doing drugs.
Me and Moscato. We'll give
Jeff,
the world.
Jeff, Aaron, Kat, are you ready for this
you
one?
UCR.
Go.
We're saying what we want. Give it to you non-stop. Any place, anytime. Not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll. We never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, Uncensored Radio.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Uncensored Radio. I am one of your co-hosts, Karen Ashley, and you are listening to your guiltiest pleasure. We like being that little naughty bit in your day. Jeffrey Emmett is on the line with me tonight. Jeffrey, how are you?
Well, girl, I've been better. I've been searching for some wine in my house, and there's some slim pickings. I mean, it's only Wednesday, so I'm not trying to open a new bottle and get crunked, you know, because it's
right.
Gonna fuck up a Thursday.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you already are having trouble making it through your morning. I called Jeffrey in the morning, and he's like, oh, I'm so tired. So the last thing you need is a hangover on top of that tiredness.
Yeah, that could definitely be a problem.
Yeah,
well, the
I'm
good
just
news
saying.
Is Joe has the flu. So, potentially, I could call in and be like, I got the flu. Sorry, suckers.
Oh, man.
Well, I ain't calling
yeah,
in.
True.
I'm calling
like,
out.
You need to spray that place with, like, some Lysol, because we don't need them damn babies getting the flu.
He's banished to the man cage.
Even if they're asshole babies, they still don't deserve it.
Yeah, and that, my friend, is Katrina Johnson, the lovely, the infamous. How are you?
I am fabulous. I discovered a new favorite show today.
Yeah?
Steve Harvey.
And what is
our
show? And you like it?
I love it.
Okay, tell me what you like about it, because I watched it one day, and it got on my last nerve. But I watched one episode.
I like that he's no bullshit. Like, today's
well, yeah,
show was all about a revolution of immature men and how they're, like, very childlike. How they don't clean up after themselves, how they play video games and just don't take care of business, don't define their relationships with women. You know, get your Facebook, like, they have this one guy, they're like, listen, where do you see your relationship going? And the guy basically said, oh, I'm having so much fun, I don't want to ruin it by defining it. And Steve was like, oh, hell no. I interviewed one of my daughter's boyfriends, and he said the same thing. And I wrote, think like a man, act like a woman. And I was like, okay, you're brilliant. Okay, I like it.
Well, that's the thing I was telling Jeffrey. I loved his book. Like, I love that Think Like a Man, Act Like a Woman book, because it was almost telling the women, you know, let me introduce you to what men are and what they do. And then if you decide to deal with a guy who's immature, doesn't clean up after himself, doesn't define the relationship, then that's on you. Like, he's like, if you do these steps, then trust me when I tell you, if this guy is not for you, he will leave. He will disappear. They will vanish into the night because they are so immature that they basically tell on themselves. It's like he was getting women, like, but then he also was getting on women, and he was like, the only reason you put up with it is because you allow it. If you don't allow it, then you're not going to get it. Like, it's actually very good. Have you seen the movie?
Yeah. Yes, I love the movie.
I love the movie, too. See, Jeffrey doesn't like Steve Harvey's talk show.
No, I haven't seen it, which now I'm kind of curious. I'm going to watch it. But I didn't like his demeanor when he was promoting the book.
Right, that's what you didn't like. I remember we had a whole conversation about it.
I love him. Like, I listened to the radio show. I think he's funny, but I just didn't care for the demeanor about the book.
Okay. And what was it? Like, what was it that was striking you?
It was just his demeanor. Like, I'd have to go look up the interview to give you specifics because it's been so long. I just remember watching it being like, this motherfucker. I just didn't like the way he talked. Like I felt like he was giving men a pass, and I'm not okay with that.
Yeah, he's very no nonsense.
Like I don't like the fact
I like that.
I think one of the things he said, he said, if you don't want your man to cheat, then you better keep him happy at home. Okay. Well, if you don't want your woman to cheat, you better keep her happy at home and in the checkbook. Okay?
That's a given.
I'm just saying, yeah. If you can't pay my automobile, if you can't pay my telephone bill, then we can't chill.
And we ain't gonna chill.
Beyonce. Okay, Beyonce. I like that. I think, though, what I did like about him in the book, like I said, the one talk show I watched, it was like a makeover show, and I was like, he was making people over, like, putting on those little funny suits he wears, and the women, like, they were trying to make the women all sexy, and I'm like, that's fine, but it just wasn't, like, a good makeover show. You know how, like, Oprah used to do these makeover shows, and you didn't recognize a person when they were made over? Like, these were just, like, they were just okay. So, and then I don't think that topic suits him. Like, he doesn't need to be making people
either.
Over. Like, that's
Whoa.
Not, you know, he's
last
not Kim Dunn.
His show's in trouble. It's not too hot in the ratings, last I checked.
Really?
Well, I liked it.
Him, Ricky Lake, and that other broad there from the over across the pond. What's her puss? Tanya.
I watched Ricky Lake too, and I wasn't impressed by her show at all. It had your favorite people on
show.
It. It had the Tory's husband, the guy that's cute, that's kind of a loser, and it was talking about him being a loser and how women make more money these days and the effect it has on men.
Oh.
Right.
Asinine, because the only reason why it has effect on men is because you were conditioned to think that way. It's not because that's the way it should be. It's because that's the way you were taught. So don't give me this bullshit.
But don't you think it's almost like the way, like, men are brought up to be the provider, the protector, and when a woman kind of, you know, when she does me, I can kind of see where a man could get a little, like, insecure about it. Not that it's right. Not that I agree with it.
By a woman
of
power.
You're not in love with women, though, Jeffrey.
No, but I also know a lot of straight guys that like women that are in control, they're in power. You know, they're the ones that, you know, I don't know, I just find something sexy about a woman that's...
I agree.
That, you know, like, the head of a corporation, I find that very sexy. You know, or like the chick I nannied for, you know, she's bigwig at the company she worked at, and like she wears, like I just found, like she was in control, like that bitch was the boss, and I just found her very sexy.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think women in control and power got money. I think it's the sexiest thing ever. But I get where men get, I get where that insecurity comes from, because it's almost like, I don't even think it really has anything to do with the woman. I think it's really about them. Like, they feel like losers. Like, why?
Well, then I guess you better step up to the plate.
Yeah.
Stop worrying about making more and just be an equal. You know what I'm saying? Like, stop being a crybaby bitch and just, you know, be happy with what you got. And do, you know, if you're not, if your woman's making fucking $100,000 more than you, well, maybe you need to go back to school or something to get you a better job. Boo-boo, I don't know what to tell you, but get over it.
Now, being devil's advocate, do you think? I agree, but being devil's advocate, do you think?
I love that I'm a dude on the show, and I'm all about women's rights. Or, you know,
I love
like
it too. I love it too. But do you think that, you know, maybe it's almost like easier in a relationship to have like opposites? Maybe have someone who's domineering and maybe strong. You know, kind of the leader in the relationship, and then maybe have someone who...
That means I'm going to be left with a doormat again.
Yeah, pretty much.
No,
you need to find you need to find you a submissive man that's got money.
You need an older guy.
How old?
Yeah. Well, probably in
his
60s.
He at least needs to be like, no, I think he needs to at least be 40 or more.
Yeah, for sure.
Once
he's 40, he's already kind of lived a life. So he's not going to be intimidated by someone like you. If anything, he's going to be motivated by you. Like, you're almost going to be that, he's like almost that midlife crisis. So you're going to be the energy, the fun, the excitement that he needs. But then he's also going to be the backbone that you need. Because he's established. He's an established man.
Going to pay for our trip, our girls' week in, you know, Bali or wherever the fuck it is we're going.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How did you get from Cabo San Lucas to Bali?
I was trying to think.
Wrong continent, wrong country, not even similar at all.
I was trying to be
like, okay, we'll go to Cabo on the first trip. This one wants to go to Bali.
Okay.
I'm saying, go big or go home. If she's got
right.
a fucking
just,
early guy.
He's just going to be a bitch and cry that he can't eat any of the food when we get there.
No, bitch, I'm going to be like Charlotte from Sex and the City, and I'm going to bring my foot back.
Oh.
He was insane.
Better than the carne asada.
That's
right.
exactly what happens in the first Sex and the City movie is what will happen to me. Except I ain't going to Mexico. I'm sorry. I'm a little too scared of Mexico.
Oh, no. It's like those resorts. They've got the best of the best. You feel like you're sitting on top of the world.
Yeah, as long as we don't leave the resort, I'm fine because I'm not trying
the
to
The thing
avoid.
Is, though, like, even if you – sometimes you can get sick from anything like ice.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I wouldn't be able to have ice. I'd be making my own ice out of bottled water and shit.
Well, they
even
have a filtration system.
Yeah. Sometimes.
I'd be bathing myself.
Going back to Katrina's man, I think you need an established man. 40 or more.
Well, you know, I agree because I find that the non-established ones get very threatened. And that's obnoxious. Can't deal with it.
Yeah,
because
you know why? Men are competitive by nature. Like, they can't help it. It's just what it is. Like, that's almost something that's put in them also, to be competitive, be the best, be the best, be the best. Like, you know? So here you are in a relationship, and in the back of their mind, they're going, be the best, be the best. And if you're better than them, in any aspect, they're going to get a little touchy.
Yeah, they freak out. It's not good. Well, also today I just officially started finally writing with my writer. And so that's, you know, it's not like I'm going to slow down anytime soon.
Right.
Just got started, so maybe you're right. Maybe I should start hitting up the 40 and over.
Yeah, I'm going to have to go on for some 40 plusers because I don't really know many. But I can find you one if you need one.
I like them about 35.
But you're going. That's going against what I'm suggesting. You got to give it a while.
No,
you got to give a 40 pluser a try.
I'm saying I usually go for 35, and that's not working. So maybe I should try for. Yeah.
Maybe you should try for the 40 pluser. Like I say 40, because sometimes I would say like when I was single, I dated older men and I dated guys my age and I dated, you know, a couple that were like, I would never go more than 2 or 3 years younger because I just felt like, I was robbing the cradle or something.
Yeah.
But I will say this, some of those 40 plusers, like some of them are young and some of them are old. Like I was like, why do you have to act so old? Like, it's not that big of a, like, that's not that much age difference. Like, why is it so night and day? So you have to be real particular with the 40-plusers.
Honey, you do realize 40's around the corner for most of us over here.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's not that around the corner.
Well,
I just say
not
that
it's far.
Well, it's within eyeshot, right?
Yeah, I'm saying.
But I'm just saying, like, I mean, I look at it like, you know, you've seen some, like, 40-plussers, and some of them are hip, cool, stay in shape, they do their thing, they work, they have great attitudes, and some of them are, like, old. Especially the ones that were, like, divorced. They were just wife searching. Like, they were, you know, they were trying to just get a wife. They didn't like being single.
Well, I'm not into that.
You don't want nobody to wife you?
No, not really.
You're like, no.
I don't think so.
No. Katrina, you're the strangest girl I've ever met. But it's not strange. That's a compliment. All the way a compliment.
Oh, thanks. I don't think I'm that strange. I think I'm just smart.
Maybe you are. Maybe, yeah, you are smart. You're very smart. But you know what it is
about
you? The reason why I say you're strange, what, Jeffrey?
Her particular taste in men.
Oh, shut up.
She hasn't gotten to her, she can't pick them just yet. She's in that I can't pick them stage.
I like the ones I pick. I don't have any complaints.
I'm not today, we'll talk to you in about 3 hours and you'll be complaining about them.
Well, I just, going back to the rotation idea, that works well for me, and I think that's what I need to do.
You definitely are like, you need to be single and you need to do your thing. Like, it's like, it almost seems like when it gets serious, it frightens you. So, someone's going to have to kind of sneak up on you.
Yeah.
And the only way that happens is if you're kind of distracted. So if you're kind of just doing your thing, then all of a sudden you're going to be like, but why hasn't he called? But I want to be with him.
Well, I got a book to write, so I don't have time. But I do have a date set up in Downey, California with a Red Ranger.
Ooh, wow.
When I get down there.
A Red Ranger danger, I like it.
Yep.
You didn't tell me about that. I'm always the last to know.
It's a recent revelation.
Okay.
I might hang out with two in 1 week. I might let the green one take me to Disneyland and let the red one take me to sushi. Is that wrong?
No, because you're a single woman. Let me tell you, single men date more than one woman in 1 week. That's just what they do. So I don't think it's wrong at all. May the best man win.
Exactly. And it's not like green is in a place to really say anything right now. So there we go.
So tell us, can we get even a sneak peek at what this book is going to be about?
Yes. It's called Party Favors. And I will say it's kind of like an expose, like how you go from Shirley Temple to Lindsay Lohan. And how you can pay a celebrity to do anything, and they're basically novelty items or party favors.
Wow.
Yeah, and then it'll detail all of my exploits on the set, on music video set, in the air, all over the world with whomever.
I like the fact that in the air, there are exploits in the air, that you've got that chapter in your book. Not everybody can say that.
That's its own book. Just in the air is its own book alone.
I can only imagine. Well, I'm going to be the first in line to read this expose. It sounds like it's going to be a bestseller.
I'm excited.
Yeah. So speaking of, you know, traveling down the bumpy road to Lindsay Lohan, did you guys hear that today her probation was revoked? And, you know, I don't think, like, they were saying they don't think she's going to go to jail still. And I'm like, how is it that she's not going to go to jail, but they just put out a warrant for, like, Cat Williams, and they're like, if he doesn't turn himself in, we're going to go catch him. Like, they're going to send out bounty hunters.
Wow.
Yeah. That's like, people are getting in trouble.
Why Cat Williams? What could he have possibly done?
He's been acting a damn fool. He basically went into a Target, and, well, I think he's, I don't know if it's drugs or something's not right, because he's been acting violent and acting crazy, and he's been getting into fights with, like, you know, concert promoters. He's been doing really outlandish, kind of off-the-wall things. He supposedly pulled a gun out on, you know, another comedian. Who knows if any of this is true, but he is on video at a Target, and he's arguing with the cashier, and he slaps the cashier. So they basically put out a bench warrant for his arrest, and he was supposed to go to court today, didn't show up, and so he's now a wanted man. So he's going to have to turn himself in. I'm thinking it's drugs. A lot of people, there was somebody, I can't remember who it was, But somebody last week was, like, pleading, saying, if you're his family, if you're his friend, get this man some help. He's too talented. It was another comedian. I can't remember who it was. But they were like, he's too talented. Don't let him, you know, don't let him go down this road because, you know, obviously things aren't right and they're suspecting drugs.
Well, I did a comedy festival with him in Atlanta, Laugh-a-Palooza, and he did party hard, but he was, I wouldn't say he had a problem, you know? He didn't party any more than the rest of us.
Yeah,
but
I remember, it was so funny, it was me and my boyfriend about 3 years ago. It was really like our first date. It was like kind of the first time we hung out. We went to a we went to an open mic thing. It wasn't really a comedy show. But he was there, and like, we didn't even recognize him because he was so wasted. Like, you could have stood in front of his face and he wouldn't have known, like, if you were there, who was there. Like, it was like, and I was like, that's not liquor. Like, people aren't, like, that out of it. At least I've seen people really drunk. But this was, like, a whole nother thing. I didn't see him do anything, but it seemed bad. But he was with a group of people, and they were taking care of him, and, you know, he was just kind of like, head was bobbing back, and eyes were rolling all over the place. He was talking crazy out of nowhere, you know, like during the show, he'd start yelling in the background. It was just really strange. Yeah. I hope he's okay.
Wow.
But anyway, like Lindsay, they're saying her probation has officially been revoked because she slapped that lady in the club. And then they also, you know, they formally charged her with reckless driving and whatever else it was when she crashed her purse on PCH. And so they're saying, though, that she could face up to, like, 245 days in jail. But they were saying that the judge that's kind of proceeding over this, she's not really big on throwing people in jail. And so they're like, she'll probably walk again. And so they're really criticizing this judge because this judge, you know, it's like almost that moment where they're like, what else can this broad do? Anybody else would be in jail. They'd be chilling in the slammer, you know. So who knows? It'll be a circus once this pans out.
Crazy.
Crazy, right? Like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous. So today is 12-12-12. You know anybody who got married?
No.
People were rushing to the, well, they were saying people were rushing to, you know, to get married today because this is like, you know, this doesn't happen. Like, it's not going to happen again for, you know, another century or something. So 12-12-12 is like the big moment. And people were supposedly like rushing to get married, you know, trying to lock in this as their anniversary.
Dumb. I saw a bunch of people get married on 10-10-10 and 11-11-11 and on 12-12-12. Whatever. All of you people are stupid. You're not original and it's dumb. In my never humble opinion, you're welcome.
Right.
And I'll just see a bunch of divorces on January 1st of 2013.
A lot of annulments.
Yeah.
So, but that's supposedly, like, this is a lucky year. People wanted to lock it down. You know, I've never really been big into numbers. Like, I just think, you know, I'm not going to plan a wedding around some numbers that I think are lucky.
I don't think a wedding is lucky, period.
Katrina must be mad at somebody today because she's so anti-relationship.
No, I'm happy. I'm in a good mood. It's not that. I don't know. I guess I watch a lot of wedding shows, and then it just sucks when people spend so much money and then they get ruined or they're not great. Like, I was watching Married to the Game.
Oh, I know.
Phones the wedding because he's partying and not calling and shadiness. And it just, I was like, wow, really? You know you're on TV, right? You're going to act a fool when you're on TV. Okay.
I know. He needs like that. He needs that speech from Steve Harvey. Like, he's a hot mess on that show. Like,
and then
they need to go to couple therapy.
seriously really bad. And then he calls his grandma over, and grandma sides with him and says, mm-hmm. oh, you've done so much for her. She's just trying to make you crazy. What?
Just trifling, right?
Yeah. What the
hell? That's why he acts like that. You know, like when you have an elder or you have a mom or somebody who sides with you and your stupidity, it's pretty bad.
Well, it is bad because he's a celebrity. He's got girls all over the place. He's got this party image. And then the one reality check that he should have, his female or parental role model at home, mm-hmm. sides with him and tells him it's all okay. That's just horrible.
Horrible.
I don't think if you have a bunch of kids at home and you're planning a wedding that you should be off partying and getting into fights and not calling your fiancé.
Right. It's embarrassing for her. Like, I don't even know how this reality show is going to go. Because did you notice, like, the intro where it was like, we decided to document our wedding.
And life got in the way.
Yeah, it was like that life and the game get in the way. So I'm like, are they even going to get married on this show? What is this show? Are we just like watching their relationship disintegrate? Like, what is this?
I think so. The ultimate demise.
Yeah. Like, it's pretty, pretty weird. I don't know. But Jeffrey, you're married and you had a rocky, like, wedding time and everybody drove you crazy. But it seems like your wedding and your relationship was good then, and it's still good now. I mean, I suppose.
Wow.
This motherfucker. I'm going to call Joey. I'm going to call Joe right now.
I'll text him right now while we're still on the air.
He's sick. He's got the flu. Leave that poor bastard alone.
No way.
He's just talking shit because Joe's down. Joe can't hold down a fry.
Pretty much. Stop eating that poor kid Mexican food. Get him a real meal. I mean, fast food Mexican food.
That's bad.
Right. So I mean, but you guys got through it, and if you guys were, I mean, I look at your marriage as a very positive example.
But I think their marriage just highlights my point because I said that it's a tragedy when people spend so much money and plan this big, huge day and life and other bullshit and other people get in the way, ruin that one special day. Thank you. Exactly.
But don't you think that's life? Life always gets in the way?
But that is why I wouldn't want to put all my eggs in the 12-12-12 basket and say that it has to be today because oh, man, you never know what could happen.
Yeah, it's a...
Well, I look at it like you never can know what happened, period. Like...
That's true.
I mean, we're all supposed to die in, like, 9 days.
10 days.
Right? The world's ending again in 10 days.
I know. Yeah,
that's such a bunch of bullshit.
My dad's very much a conspiracy theorist when it comes to the end of the world and the end times and hurry up, get your life together because then the world's coming. And I'm like, Dad, I've read Revelations. I get where you're coming from. I get how it says in the end times that there will be lots of natural disasters and we're having tsunamis and floods and all this crap and storms and hurricanes. I get it. But that doesn't mean that it's going to be over like tomorrow. And that doesn't mean that I shouldn't push towards my future today.
Well, maybe they were being a little dramatic because there's this thing. At some point, the world is going to end because the sun will supernova. And at that time, I'm sure there's going to be a few hurricanes, tsunamis, earthquakes.
Hurricanes. Hey, tsunami. What is that? Is that like a piece of sushi or tsunami?
That's Tommy and Chick-fil-A.
A documentary.
Yes.
Do you know he actually texted me today, Katrina, and was like, did you watch that documentary?
Oh,
the
no.
one about the backwards people.
Why is it that if K Karen gives everybody homework, everybody jumps. I give you bitches homework, and you don't fucking listen.
I'm busy.
Oh, bitch. Okay. All right. This motherfucker.
I'm a legitimate news person.
I know you have a very busy social life, but take the fucking hour out of your life and watch the motherfucking documentary.
Documentary.
It sounds serious.
It sounds scary.
That word scares. I know the word scares me. I give you reality shows to watch, or I give you like miniseries, like watch the Liz and
something
Dixie
amazing
miniseries
that we were already going to watch.
Right. I'm not gonna pull some like something we've never heard of and like say watch this.
God. They're fucking nuts, and I want to have them on the show, and you need to have your homework done. But I want you guys to see this before you turn on to know what I'm getting us into, because we all might get murdered if we have them on.
Oh, have you seen that new, they have, like, Amish Mafia?
Yes, I watched it yesterday. It was amazing.
Did you? Is that real? Like, I just don't get it.
It's amazing.
What? Tell me what it's about, because I was like,
okay.
Is it serious?
Okay. The Amish Mafia is an Amish colony, I think in Pennsylvania. I'm not sure, but they've got this, they're like old school, you know, they're not allowed to drive or anything. So there's this guy, and he's like the boss, and he is the Amish Mafia, and what he does is, he is kind of like the Sopranos. Like, he goes around and exploits people, and he, like, takes advantage of them and stuff. And he, what's that charge where, extortion, he extorts people. He'll go around to the Amish people, and he'll, like, spy on them and catch them doing something wrong. Like, he found out that one poor lady was in a horse and buggy accident, and the other vehicle, it was a car that hit her, just sped off and drove away. So he's like, that's wrong, where was it? And she's like, it's that car up the street. So he goes up the street, finds that the car is in fact dented, goes up to the guy and he's like, listen, you hit this lady's car, you need to repair it. And he's like, no, man, get off my property, and throws him out. And he's like, okay, well, an eye for an eye. And then he takes out a giant shotgun and shoots the guy's car.
He's like a vigilante, though.
What?
He's like a vigilante. He's like,
yeah, he's
wrong.
A full-on vigilante. Like, it's so wrong the way he, like, takes the law into his own hands, but it's hilarious. And then there's this other one where he has two little cohorts, too, that are supposed to be the muscle, but they're not very muscular. It's so funny. And it says that he's trying to get lots of power. And he does. He has recognition and money and fame and kind of power within the community. But he cheats, and he has an Escalade, and he drives a car. And his muscle, he hired a Mennonite, who I guess is allowed to drive, as one of them, because he's allowed to drive and do other stuff and buy electronics, and they buy a digital camera. And they
That's where we got Izzy from.
Okay.
Where?
Well, that's good.
The Mennonites.
From the Mennonites. Well... Those Mennonites, I don't think we're supposed to be using the internet to advertise Izzy, but whatever. Anyway, they're trifling Mennonites, but that's fine. We won't judge. But he finds this guy, follows him to a hotel, and the Amish dude is buying a prostitute. So they knock on the door, bust in, and they catch the guy with the prostitute. She's naked in bed. He's naked. And they got all these pictures, and then they film him driving off. Then they exploit him and extort money, and they tell him that it's wrong in the eyes of the church and that he has to leave and that they'll take care of his businesses while he's gone. So they basically blackmail him and take over all of his businesses.
Oh, my gosh.
And
they're making a show about this?
Yeah. And they wrap it up in the package that they're just doing it for his own good and for the benefit and good of the other people and the church.
Crazy.
It was hilarious, but it was, like, wild, and you'd never, ever think that that was on there. It was really well produced. It was funny. And they played cow pie bingo, where they draw squares on the ground, and whichever cow poops on the number first, they win.
Shut the fuck up.
I swear.
Oh.
So they're not allowed to gamble, right? Isn't that considered wrong? But at the same time, the Amish people don't have TVs. So how's anybody ever going to know?
Oh, my goodness. Right, and it's like, who makes the game out of cow poop? Like,
Amish people with nothing to do.
Yeah,
right.
No
a
cell phone,
on their hands.
No internet, no Facebook. Oh, excuse me, no Facebook.
Ooh, we would die. We would die in an Amish world.
Watch Dallas. I mean, what else are they supposed to do?
Did you hear they're planning JR's funeral on the show?
It's horrible.
I know, they're doing a whole thing. Well,
it's devastating.
That show sounds very interesting. Like, that actually sounds like a show I'd want to watch.
Oh, shut
it's
up.
Cool.
It's more interesting than the documentary you suggested, Jeffrey.
You know what?
I didn't expect to like it, but I really liked it, and it was hilarious.
I tried
Speaking
to tell Jeffrey I would have watched the documentary, but I don't have Netflix. And he'd already loaned his Netflix to you.
That's right. That's true. And I didn't even watch the documentary.
There's limit one on the documentary loaning of Netflix.
A limit that Ms. Ashley just set up herself. Ms. Ashley just posted a hilarious video to Jeffrey from Santa on his Facebook page and on the Uncensored Radio Facebook page, and you should all go check it out.
You bitches are just foul.
Find out if Jeffrey's on the naughty list or not.
Ooh, you know he is.
No, I'm
you
not.
Know he is. You been good this year, Jeff?
I need some new cordless phone. Shit.
That's what you want for Christmas, is a cordless phone.
Yeah, that's what Joe's mom has been like harassing us, like, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas? And I never know. And it's not till like I'm done shopping or like after Christmas and I'm like, fuck, I needed this, that, and the other thing. You know, like I don't remember. And I'm one of those people, I get shit I need, not that I want.
Mhm.
You know, and
what
I
if you don't need anything?
Well, I mean, I guess I really don't, but I do. I need some socks, but I really need some new cordless phones because these two motherfucking set bitches, I don't know. I bought them a couple years ago for Christmas. They fucking just die for days, and they don't work. They won't charge. The second handset, the sound hasn't worked since, like, the third day, and I'm like, this is bullshit. It's just been very traumatic, so I need some cordless phones. And this is a big motherfucking house. I need, like, you know, one with, like, 5 units.
Yeah, you do.
You need walkie-talkies in your house.
No shit.
So today I was looking at the news, and I think I sent you guys this article, but Sesame Street, I know we all watch Sesame Street at some point in our life, they have did a new little mini-series for the children, the little, bastard babies, and they basically, you know how they go through the alphabet? A for apple, B for boy, C for cat,
C for D for bastard.
A for asshole.
B for bitches. Yeah, well, D, the letter D now is for divorce. They're doing
that
a whole...
crazy.
They're doing a whole show where they're going to talk about divorced families because it's obviously a big deal, and it ties into what you said, Katrina. There are a lot of people getting annulled and getting divorced, and marriage has not been a great thing for them, and it's not been a positive experience, and these poor kids are smack dab in the middle of it. So I guess Sesame Street is taking it upon themselves to help explain why mommy and daddy are no longer together.
Not
because
real
they're assholes and mommy was fucking the milkman.
Or daddy could keep it in his pants and gave it to the secretary on his lunch break every day.
And then he gave mommy herpes.
Yeah, and then daddy had a gambling problem and mommy was addicted to prescription pills. It was all bad. So, I mean, I have a problem with Elmo and Big Bird and all them people explaining divorce. Like, I just don't know how. I guess I'd have to watch it, but how would they do that? How do you explain that? And I guess it's true, because I know a lot of kids who their parents went through divorces, and they really were emotionally hurt by it and really devastated. Like, I have friends who are still really, they're grown-ass adults, and they still talk about when their mom and dad were together. Like, it's like they want them to get back together. Like, it really
tore
them up.
No, it's serious.
It really affected
you
them.
You said you watched the Shaws of Sunset. Did you see this week's episode where MJ goes
yes.
to a psychiatrist because
yes.
she's killed by her parents' divorce, and that, you know, makes her unable to have a successful relationship to this day? I mean, it's true. That's the first
yeah.
relationship you really ever see, and it could scar you for life.
Yeah, did you see how she took care of her daddy? No, it's true, though, Jeffrey. Like, I always tell people, I'm so blessed, and this is a crazy thing to feel blessed about, but my mom and dad were broken up before, like, my dad basically cheated on my mom. They were broken up, divorced by the time I was born.
Wow.
They were together 2 years, and she got pregnant, and during the time she was pregnant, she found out that he had been cheating, and
Woo!
They were broken up, going through a divorce by the time I was born. But I always say that's a blessing. Because I never saw them together. I've always known my life is I live with my mom, and then I go up to my dad's on the weekend or go to see him on the holidays. It was always like that split custody thing. So I never yearned for them to be back together. I never went through that, like, my mom, she left me, she left my dad, and she left all of us. It's like abandonment.
Well,
like,
you know, that
was
where Baltimore's from.
Yeah.
Yeah, his mom.
But it's like, come on. Like, at some point, I feel like you need to talk to your kids. You need to be honest with them. And, you know, you can turn it into a healthy situation and make it not necessarily positive, but
mm-hmm.
help your child understand the situation so that they're not fucking crying when they're 30 years old. My mother left me. She don't love me no more.
I mean, that's true. Parents should, of course. You should always handle
right.
everything at home, but that doesn't mean that they do. So
well,
they're
assholes, and they're selfish, and they don't put their fucking kids first, and they should probably be shot.
Okay, that's
right.
true. So,
that's one way of looking at it.
Jeffrey's daycare, would Jeffrey's daycare let them watch Sesame Street telling them all about divorce?
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, this is my thought. I always say, like, abandonment issues, especially from parents, are the most difficult to get over, because even though you go, okay, I get over it, okay, I get over it, okay, it's no big deal, you still sit back, and I think in the back of your mind, you go, why, I mean, if my mom can't love me, if my dad couldn't love me, like, what the fuck? Like, I think that's a big pill to swallow, you know? And I have, like, friends who've been adopted, and their abandonment issues are so deep, like, they're like, how could my parents give me away, or how was I, you know? Or I have friends who've gone through, you know, their parents divorced, and they're just like, how could my father do that to my mother, or my mother do that to my father? It's just so deep. So I think it's easier said than done. Even if you do talk to somebody, does it make it right that all of a sudden the life you're accustomed to and the life you love and you thought things were great, now all of a sudden it's, you know, it's all different?
I guess, again, I'm that weird kid because I was the one begging my parents to get a divorce so that my mother could go find a rich man and I would, you know, could be a kept child.
Yeah. Wait, you have...
What?
I don't understand how you have issues when you have the greatest parents ever.
Ever. You have the greatest parents.
Look at kids.
I love them.
It wasn't all fucking roses growing up. That's all I'll say.
Well,
everybody's got
as a problems.
Family,
but
stop
sure.
crying and fucking move on.
Well, I get those issues. Like when you have issues, like, oh, the girl. I don't know if you saw this, Katrina, but Mario Lopez got married recently, and they have a whole like special on his wedding. And they had a beautiful wedding in Mexico, actually. Gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous wedding. But it was so weird because his bride, this famous Courtney,
she was like contemplating asking her dad to walk her down the aisle, and she was really struggling with it because she said 4 years ago her parents got a divorce. Now, this is a grown-ass woman. She's like probably in her 30s. She's got a kid. You know, she's been with Mario for like 3-4 years, so it's been a long time.
That's for her.
But she said when her dad divorced her mom, he basically left all of them. Like, she hadn't talked to her father in like 2 or 3 years. Like, he basically said, okay, I gotta leave, and he left, and he left everybody.
So why was it even a fucking question then?
Because she's a good person, and she just was like, I can't imagine getting married, and my entire family's not there. I can't imagine, you know, and that's,
well,
it was painful.
He could be there, but that doesn't mean he has to walk her down the aisle. That's a privilege.
I agree.
Right, like,
I
if
agree.
You abandon me, you can basically bite my ass. Like, what? I just don't understand. Like, let's worry about starving children instead of stupid shit. Like, good Lord. I mean, these people need to get a hobby. Like, she's obvious. I want to know if there was a fucking prenup. That's what I need to know. And where does she work?
She was, when they met, she was a Broadway dancer. Like, they met on the set of A Chorus Line. Like, she was a Broadway Chorus Line
oh,
dancer.
Oh, so she ain't got no money.
She has no money.
Yeah, but she's a professional. Yeah, like she, you know, and then they fell in love, and she's, you know, they've had a baby, and now they're finally getting married and whatever. But I mean, I kind of get it. Like, I mean, I don't say, like, I mean, obviously, you're right. That's a privilege. He's done her dirty. But she said, you know, prior to that divorce, like, she was daddy's girl, so it was so hurtful for her, and she confronted him about it, and she told, you know, told him how she felt, and she was like, and she ultimately, I think that's what she dreamed of, like her big dream of the day I get married, she saw her dad walking her down the aisle, so this was kind of like, you know, why would I want my dream to be complete. And then after they showed, you know, them, and they have the wedding goes off flawlessly, and they, you know, she goes, I'm really happy I made that decision. Because it actually brought them closer. And her, she was like, my parents are divorced, but they came together on this day, and they were like, let's go get her married, and let's, you know, they were so excited for her. And so it ended up being a happy ending to her, you know, emotional stress. But
I don't feel sorry for her.
Yeah, you're marrying a man that's got like fucking $1 billion, I'm sure.
Oh, he's loaded. No,
no,
he doesn't have a billion, but he's good.
He doesn't have a billion. He's doing all right.
He's got a radio show. He works for Extra, and he's doing X Factor.
That motherfucker is all over like cat shit. Okay, like he's fucking everywhere.
He's like a mini secret.
Yeah, like
I had a crush on him until he asked me out, and he. Not a fan.
Nope.
Why? What was it? What turned you off?
He kind of just, it was, he didn't even really ask me out with respect. He just kind of basically assumed that I was a fan and that I wanted to go out with him.
Ew.
Well, what'd he say? What the fuck? You can't give me popcorn and say no butter.
We want to play.
Okay, what was that show that they did that was like the male version of The Voice? I mean, The Talk
the
or
male?
Whatever.
Oh, right. I don't know, but he was on that. Yeah,
it was
him.
It was Dick Clark, and it was like two other guys. It was a male talk show. No,
it was a male version of The View.
Yes, the male version of The View. Well, they used to pay pretty girls to sit in the audience in the front row. So me and my friends we knew someone that was like, hey, just, I know you guys are, we had like a break from school or something. We were in college, and they were like, hey, we'll pay you to sit here. They're like, you're not in school anyway, so you might as well. And we were like, all right, well, we watched the show, so we might as well. So we're sitting there, and it's really boring, and then Mario comes out, and he's all flirty, and all the girls are, like, swooning over him. And me and my friends were kind of like, ugh, tourists. you know, like, you can tell who is from L.A. and who's used to being around celebrities and who's
right.
not. Like, hell.
Right.
But, I mean, they need to have lots of fans in the place because they want that energy on camera.
Absolutely.
They just don't want those people in front because they don't want them to get attacked. So we're sitting there kind of, all these girls are screaming, and we're like, okay, be quiet already. He comes over, and he's like, so, you're going to meet me for a drink. You're going to meet me here. And then he starts,
what?
Like, it describing exactly what we were going to do. And it was like, don't pass go. Don't collect $200. You're not getting dinner. You're getting a drink, and I'm getting a blowjob. It's basically kind of what he was inferring. And I was like, oh, turned off. I was so disappointed because he was beautiful. And I heard he was douchey, and at the time he cheated on Allie, whatever it
oh,
is.
Oh, yeah. He did her dirty.
Yeah, he did. And I knew all about it because I was a flight attendant on the Girls Gone Wild private jet, and he did all of his dirty work on the Girls Gone Wild private jet, so I heard all about it. So I knew who he was.
Mm-hmm.
But I was surprised at just how forward and how dirty he was, and I was instantly turned off. Haven't liked him since. Those beautiful dimples are a waste because he's dirty.
Wow. Yeah, he supposedly, he married the Allie chick, and then she found out after they married, like, the next day that he had, that he cheated on her at his bachelor party, like, the night before the wedding.
Well, also, he had a full-on, like, relationship cheating affair. It wasn't like a one-night thing, like, he got, like, hooked up with a stripper or something. No, he had, like, girls that they took with them down to Puerto Vallarta and cheated, like, for a week. It was, like, the whole thing. It wasn't this one isolated moment. No, it was a full-on week-long crazy spree.
Right. Like, you had many moments to be a better man, and you weren't.
Yeah.
Well, you know he's fucked up because his new wife apparently tweeted a photo of this bitch in his underbridges. Decorating the Christmas tree with his daughter, like, holding his legs. Like, you just in your underwear decorating the Christmas tree with your kid, like, right there at your ass crack. And it looks like it's girl underwear, to be honest. It doesn't even look like boy underwear, and you can see part of his ass cheek.
Well,
it's
like
your little bikini.
He looks good in underwear.
Didn't he
come out with his own line of underwear or something?
Something. And he's Latin. You know Latin guys probably do more of the... You know, tight, the little, he had red ones on, like little tight underwear as opposed to like.
It's fucked up looking. It's so gross. It turns me off. They look like girl underwear. Yuck.
She's at the bottom. I saw that picture. She's at the bottom of the step, and he's like fixing the star on top of the Christmas tree. So it's not like she's right at his ass, but
what's
anything wrong. I mean, that's your daughter. That's your daughter. A mom would walk around in her, you know, bra or something in front of her kids. Like, this is like a 2-year-old.
You shouldn't be. That's rude.
Right. If you breastfed that child, why wouldn't you?
Well, the thing is, I bet the baby probably doesn't know what's going on. Like, once you get, like, tall enough to reach it, then, okay, put that away.
Yeah.
Put some pants on.
Exactly.
But I think a lot of times, the fun part about being an adult with kids is that you can say big words that they don't understand. That's the only thing that I really like about hanging out with kids. Like, for instance, I was watching this movie with Jason Segel, The 5-Year Engagement. Have you guys seen it?
I have. I like that movie.
You know the part where the fiance is talking with her sister, and they've got the little girls around. And the little girl goes, "You talk like Elmo. You talk like Cookie Monster." And so the one sister's like, "Ah, Elmo thinks that Cookie Monster's a bitch." And then Cookie Monster, thinks Elmo's an evil bitch. And it was so funny because the little girls weren't really paying attention to what the words were, but just that it was Cookie Monster and Elmo. I thought that was kind of brilliant.
That was the funniest scene ever because they really did it. Like, those two, they started sounding like Elmo and Cookie Monster. Like, they did good impressions. You know what else I saw this weekend that I want you guys to see? This is not an assignment because Jeffrey will get upset. But it was intriguing.
Oprah has that Life After, and she's sitting and talking to Fergie and Josh Duhamel, and she brings up the whole affair and him having that affair with the Vegas girl, and they don't really deny it. Like, you know, Fergie was like, oh, that was a tough time for us. We went to counseling. It actually brought us closer. We really had to, like make a choice. Like, what are we going to be? Are we going to be together? Or are we going to be, like, that kind of couple? Or what are we doing here? And Josh Duhamel even talked about it. Like, hey, her mom and dad are sitting at this table. And, like, you know, Oprah brings it up again when he's there. And he was like, you know, it made me go, okay, are you going to be, what kind of man are you going to be? Are you going to be a douchebag, or are you going to be like a man? Are you going to be a husband? And he goes,
wow,
it really checked me, but they never said it didn't happen. Like, it was almost like they were like, yeah, it happened. He fucked this stripper girl, and then, you know, we moved on.
Did you hear the freaky shit?
What?
He was asking that bitch to do. I was like, hey.
No, Fergie seems like she's a freak. I didn't know what did he ask her to do.
I don't remember. I'm trying to look it up right now because, ooh, girl, they get me moist.
Wow. Well, speaking of Oprah, I have a newfound respect for Stedman today because on the Ricky Lake show that was talking about powerful women that are more successful than their men, they're talking about Oprah and Stedman. And they said that Stedman is actually successful in his own right.
Yes.
And he makes $10 million a year, but compared to Oprah, you know, $3 billion, his $10 million is chump change. But I didn't know that. I newfound respect for him. It's always
I know, I thought that was like her minion, but no, he's like a full-on, accomplished author. He's like a speaker, you know, but he's cool. Like, he's just chilling in the cut. Like, he doesn't want any of that limelight.
Well, I like that. I appreciate that. I like that.
I do, too. I thought that was pretty. I was shocked, too, when they were talking about. I saw something they talked about. I didn't see the Ricky Lake thing. And then Oprah did another interview. Like, these interviews she's doing now are really cool because it gets all in depth. She was talking to Usher, and Usher was talking about, you know, his divorce. And then she goes, did you have sex with her best friend or with her bridesmaid, because that came up in like the custody hearing, and he was like, he basically said yes. Like, he was like, we were in touch and we talked and there were some things that happened between us, and he basically was like, yeah, I fucked her bridesmaid. Because she brought all that shit up. She brought it all up in the custody hearing. Like, she was like, he fucked my bridesmaid, he's doing this, he's doing that, he had multiple affairs. You know, and then even the mom, like, they brought the mom out, and the mom was like, because the mom didn't go to the wedding, and the mom was like, I knew from day one she was not the one for him. I knew from day one that that marriage wasn't going to last. And then Oprah was like, well, don't you regret, at any part of you regret that you didn't go to the wedding? She's like, nope. And she goes, even just to be there for him and just to be there for your son, nope, I don't regret that. I didn't want to be a part of that. Like, it was like, what the fuck? And then Oprah was like, are you one of those moms where nobody's good enough for your son? She goes, no, I'm not like that. And Usher's behind her like, whatever. Like, she gives that look like shit. Because at the time that he got married and all this stuff happened, his mom was his manager up until that point, and he let her go. He was like, I don't need you to be my manager anymore. And he said, he was like, you know, we weren't really fighting about the business, but she was all up in my business with this.
Of course.
And I needed to live my life. And I was like, okay, I need you to not be my manager anymore. And so she was like, I built this empire.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you get time, I mean, they'll do those Oprah, like, they'll kind of do the marathons. They're deep. Like, they got some juice. She's picking good people with good little juicy drama.
All right. Well, and if anybody else has time, check out our Facebook page, and you can see my little message to Jeffrey from Santa at facebook.com/uncensoredradio. And they can check out our website. Ms. Ashley, do you want to phone with?
Yes, our website is myuncensoredradio.com. Please check it out. Oh, and you know what? I've been giving out my wrong Facebook all this time because it used to be Karen Ashley, but I changed it to a fan page so that I could have more friends because it was like, you know, it stops you. So it's official
yes.
Karen Ashley. So it's Facebook/official Karen Ashley, and that will take you right to the fan page.
Excellent. And Jeffrey, how do they find us on Twitter?
@UncensoredRadio.
All right. Well, I think that's all we got, kids.
That's it.
Yes.
Good night.
Yes.
Great show, guys.
You are. So. We're saying what we want. Give it to you nonstop. Any place, anytime. Not afraid to speak our mind. That's just the way we roll. We never gonna go. Unstoppable, original, uncensored radio.
Bye.
Welcome to another episode of Title Pending. Lots to get to on the docket tonight. No Cody Butler, but luckily Big Ben Jackson will be back with us. He's going to be a little bit late. He's getting out of work. But right now, we are joined by Maggie Shaw, Maria Dedeo. We had an excellent show last week. Glad you girls can come back. You guys are quite the duo. Miss Shaw, I understand that you're having a little get-together for your graduation coming up this weekend. Would you want to fill us in on that?
Just a little shindig going to the Bison's game, and then hopefully going to Pearl Street afterwards, and maybe making our way back to LP afterwards and hanging out.
Sounds like quite Saturday. And just from that mass text I got, seems like quite the crowd. A lot of numbers in there I didn't recognize, so hopefully this will be a fun time. But Maria, always a pleasure. Thanks for joining us. You're starting to become a regular on the show, and we certainly like that. Sometimes Cody can't make it. Sometimes I can't make it. Sometimes Ben can't make it. Who better to fill in than you? How are we doing this week?
Doing wonderful.
I understand the boyfriend was up this weekend. I'm sorry I was unable to make it out, but I hope you guys had a wonderful weekend. I heard it was a pretty crazy weekend. It was one I shouldn't have missed by the sounds of it.
Yeah, what the hell, E?
I gotta get my shit together. I gotta understand when you guys want to party, I need to also be available to party and quit being 42 instead of 22.
There you go.
Yeah, you could also say that. I mean, spent some time at the cottage, didn't get too much done. I guess I missed out on a lot. So be sure not to make that mistake again. But one of the things we hit on last week, we didn't really have time to get into it because we were so busy with other things, was the difference between raising a cat and raising a dog. And you two both have experience with that. Maggie, I want you to touch on that a little bit because you were more of the cat lady and you currently have a puppy that you are in the midst of raising.
Yes. He actually just went up in his crate now and he's crying. So it's definitely different than having a cat, like Cody touched on last week. Basically, having a cat, they make the decisions, whereas having a dog, you more so have the say in what they do. However, I would say my preference, I do like so far, like, I don't know if you'd call it raising, but having a dog and, like, training a puppy just because it's cool to, like, have them learn and get trained and to see, like, the progression and then learn who you are and learn that you're their master. And I can kind of see, like, where the bond forms and, like, how they become your best friend because I never had that growing up because I've never had a dog before. So now I can see, like, where, like, my friends loved it because they are, like, your best friend, whereas I always had cats, and that's not the kind of relationship you have with them. Cats are just kind of, like, always there, and, like, they'll snuggle you once in a while, but, like, it's on their terms, whereas a dog, like, if you let them up on the couch, like, they do what you want them to do because all their goal, only goal in life is to please you, basically. So I'm slowly learning that, but I think I prefer it.
No, it's completely a weird dynamic, and we're not going to spend the whole night comparing cats and dogs because I'm not sure that's exactly what everyone wants to hear. But as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, I have a kitten, Bill. He just took him to the vet the other day. He's up to 3.8 pounds. He was 2.4 when I got him, so he's a growing kitten. But he's a pain in the ass, and I was complaining to Cody. I said, this cat doesn't listen to me. When I call him, tell him to come over, he just looks at me and will continue playing with his toys. He said, it's not the same as a dog. They're not at your beckon and call. Cats do whatever they want, and you kind of have to tolerate it. And now I'm starting to grasp that, and, of course, I have a dog and a half with me because Riley's always here, and Riley's been my baby for 3 years now, and then Bruno occasionally comes, and he kind of has his fun. But totally different having those two in the equation. But before we bore everyone with that, there is a couple things I want to touch on because you guys talked about it last week, and I really want to get going on this and hear some about it because I'm hearing it's going to be even better than last year. Let's talk about this hoedown. You guys announced it last week on the show, and I got an interesting text talking about it. Why should I come to this one if I didn't enjoy the first two? And I'm not saying I didn't enjoy the first two, but I just mean hypothetically.
Well, hypothetically, that's bullshit because everyone enjoyed the first two.
Okay.
And
Well, hold on, Maria. I'm going to interrupt you there. I was killing time until we got him here. But Big Ben Jackson officially joined us on the show. Ben, what is up? I was killing time talking to these two ass clowns before you got here. You came and saved the day.
Well, you know what? It's been great to be back on the show after my month-long hiatus. So just glad to be back on.
All right, and before we start talking about your crazy week, I'm going to let Maria start to talk again about the hoedown. And then we really want to hear about your weekend because that's a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and I think that's awesome that you did it. But, Maria, hypothetically, I say the first hoedown suck. And this is complete hypothetical. A lot of people, or no one would ever say this. Why should I come to this one?
Well, we don't really want to give away too many secrets. But we'll just say that take the first year times that by a billion and take the second year and times that by like a trillion and this will be the third annual. And
okay.
Now that we've kind of built it up, I think it's going to be fucking awesome.
How many people were expecting? Just give me, we've had Ben Kane perform in the past. We've had interesting things like that. But why is this one going to be separate from the other ones, besides just telling me it's going to be better? Sell me on why it's going to be better.
Well, for instance, Ben Kane is going to throw a little country covers in there for us. And he's practically a lockport superstar, so I'm going to expect the entire population of Western New York. So that's my pick.
Well, I mean, I think that pretty much sells me on that. And trust me, I mean, I understand you guys want to keep it a surprise, and if you spoil it tonight, may not have that same element of surprise, and I can respect that. But, Ben, one thing I want to hit on, I was all ready to tease you about your Heat getting knocked out and this super team failing, and they end up coming back and winning last night. You had to be thrilled. But the one thing I thought was absolutely awesome, and I hate on Heat fans, not so much the national ones, but the local ones, because anyone will attest, South Florida is full of, like, the most ungracious fans who show up late to the games. You have LeBron James there. You should get there to watch him for warmth. You need to show up late. So the Heat are down 5. 21 seconds left in the game. It's all assumed the Spurs are going to win. Series over. Spurs are going to win the title. There was a bunch of Heat fans who left the arena. As soon as they're leaving the arena, they hear that the score is tied, but they're already outside and can't get in and are locked out and were throwing an absolute hiss fit. They were not allowed in. Would you guys ever leave a Bills playoff game early? Ben, I'll start with you.
No.
Ben, I'll start with you.
Yeah, dude, absolutely not. It's no matter what the score is. I mean, because even if it's a blowout, I mean, first of all, I rarely leave any game early, but it's especially if it's a playoff game or even like if it was a Super Bowl game for the Bills, like not even close. And not to if it's a playoff game at home, like you got to stay to the end. I mean, not to mention the comeback when they played the Oilers. I mean, so that was like when it's that high stakes, you can't leave. And you know what? It's funny. You know, they were pissed they couldn't get back in, but they didn't deserve to go back in. If you're going to leave with a minute left in the game, like, how can you do that? This is the NBA Finals, and, like, you're supposed to be your team. You got all these superstars, and you're just going to walk out on them and give up? Like, that's disgusting, kind of.
And before I get to Maria and Maggie, this wasn't a 32-point game. This was a 5-point game. And what's the difference between you leaving with 21 seconds left and you leaving at the end? It's 21 seconds. You really couldn't wait that 21 seconds. And I'm glad. They got what they deserved, and Chris Bosh said it best. If you left at game 6, don't come back for game 7. You're not to leave them. We don't want you there. Maria, I heard your little fuck no, you never leave a Bills game early. What would you do if this was a bunch of Bills fans leaving the game? What does Maria Tadeo shout to them as they're exiting the stands and they're walking by her?
Well, I mean, every Bills game, there's always a big chunk of people that leave the game early, whether it's the last 10 minutes when we're down by 40 or the last 20 seconds when we're still down by 40. But, I mean, if you're there to watch the game, if you're there, you paid the ticket, like, you tailgated for 3 hours beforehand, like, the whole point of the game is to see the finish ending. And people think, you know, like, the last 20 seconds game, oh, nothing's going to happen, blah, 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 blah. But there are games where shit happens within the last 5 seconds of the game and games come back, and it goes down in history. And I never want to be the person that left during that game and missed the huge finale. And, you know, I mean, it rarely ever happens, but it could be that one time you're there.
Oh, and exactly. And you hit the nail on the head there. The downside to you leaving is you're missing one of the historic great games of all time. This game last night was an NBA classic. People are going to be talking about for years. And you missed it, not you personally, Maria, but you as the Miami Heat fans who left early because you wanted to beat traffic by 21 seconds. Absolutely ridiculous. Maggie Shaw, would you ever leave a game early to beat traffic?
No, never. I mean, as a Giants fan, I have to drive anyway to be a part of my team's game, so I cherish every second I am there, and I have never left the game early in order to beat traffic. But I don't think I've ever left a Bills game early with Maria when I go with her to beat traffic either. So, and that's like right around the corner. So I just think that that's stupid. I would never do that. And especially, I mean, it's just the whole point that this is like, that was like one of the greatest games that they're ever going to see their team playing. And they left.
Well,
so, I mean,
that they're
not
going to see because they didn't see it.
Group of supporters. Yeah.
Right. I think they got exactly what they deserve. Now, I'll keep this short because I think I already know the answer to this. But Chris Bosh saying, don't bother coming back to Game 7, you're not your Heat fan. You think, I know you guys aren't huge basketball fans, you might not know it, sir, but do you think he went overboard, or do you love that? Like, would you love that if C.J. Spiller said, you know, fuck the Bills fans, they want to leave early, they're not true fans? Maria, I'll ask that to you.
Well, I mean, publicity-wise, he may have gone too far. His agents are probably kicking him in the ass for it, but
don't lie,
player,
Maria,
like,
don't lie. How would you react?
What? Oh,
I'd
be
lie, Maria. How would you react?
I mean, if I was in his position, that would piss me the fuck off. Like as fans, you are supposed to be they're like your teammates that just don't go on the floor with you. Like, and it's kind of like them stabbing you in the back. Like, just because you guys aren't performing your best, like, they're all of a sudden not your fans anymore. Like a bunch of fucking bandwagoners. Like, that pisses me off. But I mean, publicity-wise, I think he did go a little far. But, you know, in his backyard, like, sure, that's okay to say.
That's why Buffalo deserves some love. I mean, Buffalo has sucked repeatedly at almost every sport. The Bills haven't made the playoffs since 1999. But they're still selling out. They still have absolutely crazy fans. The Miami Heat have been awesome, been America's team for the last 3 years. And that's how long most Heat fans have been Miami Heat fans. In that city. They didn't give a shit about the Heat until they got LeBron and Wade. Now they're absolutely crazy about it. And I'm not talking shit about the people from Lockport who love the Heat because they love LeBron. I'm talking shit about the people in South Florida who are all of a sudden Heat crazy who didn't go to games or even follow the team 3 years ago. Ben, you're a Heat fan. Did you love what Chris Bosh said, or you just want to say, shut up, dude?
No, first of all, I didn't even know that he said that, so this is the first I heard. But I think that's fantastic because you're not going to, because honestly, if you look at it from like a from a more objective standpoint, like, okay, you know, these are the fans, these are the people who somewhat pay your salary, and, you know, if they want to leave early, they're entitled to that. And that's the objective standpoint. But, you know, if you're a fan and you're one of the ones who stayed, I think that's absolutely, like, how are you going to walk out game six of the NBA Finals with 28 seconds left to go and, like, they were down, what, 5 points, I think it was?
Yeah,
and,
it's certainly feasible to come back.
Yeah, and so, you know what, I really like that a lot because, you know, you can tell that, you know, it's some players and coaches, they're very dismissive to the media and they don't really give a lot of honest answers. But you can tell that's, like, how we really felt, and I think that's really cool that he expressed himself like that.
Well, it's kind of a catch-22 with athletes and celebrities. When they give a staged answer, like, oh, we're just hoping for the best, hoping to get the win, people kill them for being fake. But when they say what they honestly feel, people kill them, too. Like, you can't say that. And Bosch is getting a little bit of heat for it. I love the honesty. Whenever an athlete comes out and says whatever they feel, I love it. And speaking of which, Ben, we're going to get to your U.S. Open in a little bit, but I want to see if you guys caught this story. Ben, obviously you're familiar with Johnny Football, Johnny Manziel. Girls, you're not big college football fans, but if you know who he is, obviously he is officially made as a superstar. Maria, do you know who Johnny Football is, Johnny Manziel?
No.
Maggie, do you?
No.
Okay, well, maybe he hasn't made it as big as I thought he is, but he's been the talk of the nation recently. Won the Heisman Trophy as a freshman. But there's more to this story than I'm just talking about right now. He, big star in College Station, Texas A&M, where he goes to school, tweets, I'm sick of this bullshit. I can't wait to leave this city. The city goes in absolute uproar all over SportsCenter, all over ESPN. Which brings me to the question. Maggie, I'm going to start with you. You are on Twitter. Have you ever tweeted something and got shit for it and just couldn't deal with it? Or have you ever said something on Twitter that you thought, maybe I shouldn't have said that?
No, never.
You're very conservative with that, which I think that goes in line because I know you were one of the first people to delete your Facebook because you were very conscious about getting a job. But before I go to Maria, do you see a lot of your followers say stuff that you read and just absolutely shriek at and say, I can't believe they just said that tall in front of all these people?
Oh, yeah. But that's why, I never think that about things that I tweet because I'm very conscious about what I'm tweeting. I feel like I'm very, like, I don't, like, use it as an emotional outlet so much. Like, if I tweet a lyric, it's literally because I'm listening to the song. It's not because it has some emotional relevance and I'm fighting with my boyfriend or somebody just died. Like, it's not that serious, people. I just heard the freaking song. So, like, everyone else tweets, like, all this bullshit about, like, oh, my God, like, it's the end of the world. I'm fighting with my boyfriend again. Like, it's so retarded. And people just get way too caught up and way too, like, they tweet their lives and people don't care. Like, I don't care to read it. And that's exactly what leads me to the unfollow button most times.
Okay. I think you have a valid point. I think most people agree with you. But what is worse to you, the saying something controversial or the tweet, no, this is probably a poor example, first thing I think top of my head, it's Friday, can't wait for the weekend. Like, yeah, that's kind of positive, but at the same token, like, it's redundant, and I know that, and, like, what's the point of me reading you and following you that? Is that something that bugs you, or is that something you just think, oh, there's some optimism, and I'm being a negative Nancy with this?
Wait, are you asking which is worse, like, someone just being redundant and saying something stupid, or someone saying something like that college football player you were talking about?
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying is Twitter and all social media is full of complainers. And let's just say, well, not even say that because complaining can be kind of difficult. Something controversial. Let's say Obama shot something down and he didn't allow gay marriage. And they just say, fuck Obama, he should allow gay marriage, opposed to it's Friday, can't wait to go out and drink. Which one would be more annoying to you?
Probably a controversial one. Just
really?
Because I feel like people... To a certain extent, because people that do it, like, obnoxiously and repetitively are controversial, I just feel like they're trying to get attention, and they're trying to, like, draw the arguments to them. They're, like, trying to get people to react, and that's what bothers me. Like, they're trying to get people to comment on it and start, like, Twitter arguments, and I hate that.
Whereas, like, if you just stay, if it's, like, something that's going on in the news and everybody's tweeting about it and it's, like, common knowledge, that doesn't annoy me so much if it was, like, something political and everybody knew. But, like, if people are doing it, like, stating the same thing over and over and over again and they're clearly trying to get a reaction or a rise out of people, then that's just stupid. Or reaction or rise out of someone in particular with the subtweeting, that irritates me.
Okay, and the only reason I ask you is because I had got rid of Twitter, but I do still have Twitter for Title Pending, our show. And one of the main reasons it is because I would get annoyed with it and I'd see myself tweeting stupid things. But we'll get into that after I talk to Maria and Ben. But I never followed many Lockport people. I'd follow my core group of friends and a few people I found funny. But my main premise was I don't want to follow these people because they're all tweeting about the same things. Going to Lock 34. Can't wait for the weekend. Can't believe this. Can't believe that. And it was never anything interesting. It was the same redundant thing that I knew anyway. And that annoyed me. And I think that was probably me being more of a negative Nancy. And that was me asking you if people tweet going to the mall with my friends, if that's not interesting to you and you don't really care. Or that's the way life is and you understand that. If you understand that question, I'm asking you.
I feel like maybe that has to do with, like, you being a boy, too. Because, like, that stuff doesn't bother me so much on Twitter. People, like, being repetitive and saying, like, oh, yay, it's Friday, we're going to get drinks. Like, that doesn't bother me. I just, like, scroll past it and, like, ignore it. But, like,
yeah.
I feel like you would think it's funny when people, like, state controversial stuff and start arguing. Like, you find that really humorous, I think, most times. So I feel like you would probably think the exact opposite of me, and you would probably be like, oh, my God, that's hilarious. Look at these bitches getting all wound up over this stupid comment.
My point is it's annoying, but it's more entertaining to me, and I would just get so bored of people tweeting the most mundane things, like just went to a workout, like, good, I don't fucking care. But someone swearing or saying they hate the government, like, I don't like it, but it's entertaining to read, and it kind of gets me fired up and ready to read some more of their tweets. Now, Maria, I don't know if you're as conservative as Maggie is, but have you ever tweeted something where you thought, maybe that was a little too racy, maybe I shouldn't have tweeted that, or is that just most of the people you follow? And if there is anyone you follow, can you give us an example of something they may have said? Not a direct quote, but just something that you thought, wow, that probably shouldn't have been said on Twitter.
I'm definitely a victim as far as tweeting something I probably shouldn't have. And I do, a lot of my followers, I see it all the time. I mean, I go to a school where, you know, over half the population are athletes. And, like, being an athlete myself, like, a big, huge thing is social media that they always, always talk about. Like, as an athlete for the school, just, you're not allowed to reach out to any sort of recruit that's coming to the school. So, like, that they've gotten so far into social media that it's that important to them. And so as an athlete, the most I see is people like tweeting about like if they've lost something or if they've like lost a game, whatever, they got second place, like they just fucking shit talk so hard to the other team over social media. And it's like, I'm not going to say that I haven't expressed my anger from losing over social media, but I've definitely never brought another team into it. And I see that a lot, and I think it's more, I don't think people realize how people view them after they say things. And once you do something like that, like, you just have a bad image on yourself. You just look like a poor loser. You kind of look like an insensitive person. And not only that, but your coach rides your ass out for something like that. So,
well, that's funny.
But that's
you bring up sports.
That's the most athletic thing.
Well, right, and I'm a big Florida State football fan, and they do not let their football players tweet during the season because they had too many instances where after a loss, fans would get on them and start tweeting them negative things, and they'd tweet back negative things. They had one guy, actually, this is kind of funny. He was quoting a song. The song talked about killing cops, and he tweeted that, and the coach, for punishment, made him do ride-alongs for 6 months with cops. So I thought that was kind of funny. As far as your it's pretty much, is it sports things where, because I know you go to a big-time athletic school where sports is a pretty big deal and you guys have some very exceptional teams, but as far as racy things, is that more just college kids just saying sexual things, or have you seen some racist things or something on there of that magnitude that you have just thought unbelievable. I wouldn't even say that, let alone tweet that.
Are you saying racist things?
Racist or sexual
in
nature. It's extremely violent.
Okay. Well, I mean, honestly, most of the stuff I see as far as, like, racial or sexual kind of comes from the Blackportians I follow. Like, mostly, I'm not going to lie, Ethan, sometimes you say stuff on social media that, I mean, I would never say, but sometimes you pull the racist card or... And other than that, I don't really see much. I do see a lot of political stuff, though, from being in the South, so...
Well, you're
but
very
right-wing, really
if I'm not mistaken.
Very right-wing. And, I mean, it doesn't bother me, but, I mean, I don't really ever want to get into it, because for some reason, everybody always gets riled up in politics, and I don't understand that. And I feel like I don't understand the people that hide, which, I mean, there are people that obviously don't hide after the conversation we're having, but some people that hide their political views for some reason that I don't know of, but...
Well, the exact reason is what you were just saying. People hide their political views because they want to avoid confrontation. To this day, now, I mean, granted, I haven't pushed it that far. I don't know my dad's political affiliation. I know he has one, but I don't know what he has. And he won't tell me because it's conversations he doesn't want to enter, and he always wanted me to form my own views and thoughts and not just do it after him. And I think that's the main reason.
Oh, my God.
Maybe there's other reasons. Go ahead, Maggie.
Marie and I just had this conversation last night, and I was telling her how I never understood why my dad and my mom did the same exact thing to us, to me and my two brothers when we were growing up, because they said the same exact thing. They said they wanted us to form our own opinions, to make our own choice as to which, like, political views we would form and whatever, and so they never told us. And to this day, I do not know, like, for a fact which political party, like, my parents are a part of, but last night my dad told me that somebody came to the door and asked for a signature from my brother and I said, why didn't he ask for yours? And he said, because I'm not a part of that political party. And I was like, oh, so that was literally the first time I've ever, like, verified that my dad is a part of the political party that I think he is, ever.
It's crazy how that works. And I think that's very responsible, mature of your dad to do that, because I know a lot of kids that I grew up around and went to school with would have really strong political views. And I would look at them and I'd realize that wasn't really their political view. That was a product of their parents' political view.
Right.
But, and I'm going to be the exact same way when I have kids. I'm certainly not going to tell you can't have a decision, and my views do not need to be reflected on you. But, Ben, you're a pretty funny guy on Twitter. I know you're also a little bit more conservative than one would expect from knowing you. You really don't tweet that too much. Facebook, I know you weren't big on that, but if you ever tweeted or posted something on Facebook or Twitter and kind of caught flack for it and had to delete it or have seen it firsthand?
I tweet maybe like once a month, like an average. And I always tend to tweet more during the school year than the summer, because I feel like I'm more occupied in summer school. I kind of have more time on my hands, so I kind of fuck around with that. But, no, the only thing, like, the only time that I get, like, you know, I post, like, stuff on Twitter that's, like, very emotionally charged is when I'm watching sports games. And I see, like, and especially Sabres games, and I see, like, you know, people that like the opposing teams start, like, tweeting that. And I'll tweet right back at him and start talking shit and whatnot. So that's the only, like, really emotionally charged tweets that I ever make. But, I mean, it's never, like, you know, like, anything terrible. It's just, you know, it's shit talking their team and, like, building up the Sabres and whatnot. So it's nothing that, like, that would people would be offended by, you know what I mean? It's just, like, it's just, you know, sports shit talking, which is, like, kind of what I do.
Yeah, it's nothing out of the ordinary. Maggie, I heard you chuckle there. Did you want to interject and add something to that? I know you're a pretty crazy sports fan as well.
No, I just think that's funny because Ben does shit talk a lot with any sports.
Yeah, I can tell you that firsthand. I'm a Tennessee Titans fan. Ben's a Buffalo Bills fan. I came home from school at the time. The Titans were playing the Bills. And Chris Johnson, one of the best players in the Titans, he had a pretty good game that day. And afterwards, he said, thank God. And Ben tweeted at him, F God, to Chris Johnson. And I was
Go ahead,
Ben.
I forgot about that. It was one of the games. Oh yeah, we went there, and it was on the ride back because I was pretty. I had a few pops that day, and so he said something. He said something about thank God, and I said fuck God. So that was actually like that's something. Now that you mention it, that probably could have got me in some trouble if anyone of. But I only have like maybe like 150 followers, so not a lot of people see this shit. So.
Well, the best part is, so I respect you, like, you didn't really do it for show because you didn't tweet it and then, hey, guys, look what I tweeted. You tweeted it, you're outside taking a piss, and Cole, like, sitting there laughing at his phone. I was like, Cole, what is so funny? He said, look at this tweet from Ben. I read that. I was like, oh, my goodness. I'm a religious guy. And, I mean, I wasn't going to be too offended by it because I know that doesn't make you sacrilegious. That was just you more pissed at Chris Johnson. But I found that to be pretty funny. And the thing is, like, we think that's a big deal because, like, you would tweet at an athlete like something like that, but he probably gets – you were probably, like, one of 600 people to do that after the game. I would hate to be a professional athlete, celebrity, after a game.
Yeah, dude,
but,
I mean, like, I can only imagine, like, all the stuff that Bills fans are saying and, like – and well, not that many Bills fans follow him, but I think you're really right with that because Twitter has given us, like, a way to directly, like, communicate with celebrities, and you know most of the celebrities just kind of probably scroll past it and whatnot. But some of them they didn't respond to, which is really cool, but it's also a hassle for them too, you know.
Have you ever, now we're on the subject, got a response or a retweet from an athlete or a celebrity?
Well, I was actually at your house. And I was explaining Twitter to it was Brittany Watson. I was explaining Twitter to her. And for an example, I tweeted at Stevie Johnson, don't drop another pass in the end zone. And he messaged me back within like 5 minutes. He goes, I'm really sorry about that, man. I didn't mean to. Like, shit just happened. And like, so that was like really unexpected. And the only other one was, I got replied by John Saunders for ESPN. I think I asked him a question about the hockey playoffs, and he just kind of, I think I asked him who he was taking in the Sabres-Philly series, and he said Philly. And I probably tweeted him back some bullshit or something. I can't remember, but I do remember he answered my question.
It is kind of funny, though, because, like, people will talk shit to these celebrities or athletes, and the celebrity or athlete will respond, and then they kind of suck up because you just got that person's attention, now you want to get on their good side. But,
yeah.
Maria and Maggie, let's start with you, Maria. Have you ever got a retweet or a response from a celebrity or an athlete?
No. But I also don't – I don't think I follow one celebrity on Twitter whatsoever. And, I mean, the only people that I follow as far as sports are people that I'm a fan of. So, like, I'll follow Bills players or – I'll follow, like, I don't know, Cardinal football player or something like that. But other than that, I don't really follow anything. And I've never really shit-talked to a specific person, celebrity, athlete. So I don't really have a reason to get anything back.
Not that there's anything wrong with it, but can I ask you why you don't follow any of these celebrities or other athletes?
I don't know. I don't see the point in it. I mean, I do follow on Instagram a few certain, but I think that on Twitter I find it more of, I feel like I can't really connect with those kind of people. And even if I do try, the chances of me getting a response period are slim to none. So I don't know. I just don't really care at all, to be honest.
No, and I think that's absolutely awesome because as a society, we're often infatuated with these people. And I feel like just telling people, like, who cares? They're the exact same race as us. Yeah, they have more money and more fame. That doesn't make them 10 times better than you. And I feel like the stupid, bitchiest thing ever is he asking for a retweet. Like, really? That's like the cheap-ass version of getting an autograph. Like, who the hell cares? I mean, if they retweet what you say, awesome. But don't beg for one. That looks so stupid. Now, Maggie,
exactly.
Before I go on another rant, do you ever got a retweet or a response or anything interesting from a celebrity or an athlete?
No. And I was just going to comment on what you were saying about that, because I think it's hilarious when you see people like, I'm going to totally call out Angelo. Who has he, like, for the last month, he's been trying to get, like, a retweet from that girl off ESPN, like, constantly. Some, like, really hot blonde girl who's, like, I think she does some segment on ESPN, I thought. I don't know. Maybe I'm totally off base. Maybe she's not from ESPN, but it's some blonde girl, and she's famous. I don't know. Anyway, he keeps tweeting her, and I literally want to call him out every single time I see it and be like, well, I don't think it's going to happen, man. Well, I don't think he knows you, dude. Like, but every time I see somebody do it to, like, Kim Kardashian or, like, somebody like that, I'm like, oh, my God, people. Like, really? This is how you spend your day? Like reading through all this person's stuff, probably, like, obsessing over what they're doing instead of worrying about what you're doing with your day, and then, like, asking them for a retweet or, like, a shout-out. Like, what are you doing with yourself? I think you need to sit back and reevaluate what's happened from point A, where you opened your eyes in the morning, to, like, point B, where you shut them, because it's been a pretty shitty day, if you ask me.
I've tried doing the opposite approach, and it never really works. Like, I'll tag a celebrity and say, why does this guy keep asking for a fucking retweet? I don't even know who LeBron James is. But I don't really respond to that one either. But, the reason I bring this up is because, I got rid of Twitter. And part of the reason I got rid of Twitter is because I'm still searching for a job, and I realize I tweet a lot, and that's a byproduct of living by myself for a year and not having someone to talk to. So when I had a thought, I would just go to my phone and tweet it, sometimes racy stuff, sometimes having to do with sports or a political view. And if you know my political views, I don't know shit about it, and I'm probably the last guy you ever want to talk to politics about because I'm ridiculous. So I would do that, and the other night I had an incident, and I thought there was something really scummy a Lockport cop had did, and lost all respect for him, and I tweeted that all these Lockport cops would be driving I said most of these Lockport cops would be driving trucks if the city didn't employ them. And I got heat from about 7 or 8 different people, which, I mean, I shouldn't have tweeted. It's a dumb thing to tweet, but it was kind of ironic because a lot of people I was getting it from were the relatives of people I was referencing, which I thought was kind of funny. And I had one girl comment, and she was probably like one of the most immoral people in Lockport ever. And I had said something back, and then I was getting text messages from people, and I just said, you know what? I don't blame them. I blame myself for being a drunk idiot and tweeting controversial things. And if I want to get a job, it's the last thing I want to do. And the time I could save by not being on it is huge. So I got rid of it. You guys probably will not hear from me on Twitter until I at least have a job.
Oh. That's kind of disappointing to me, E, because I thoroughly enjoyed reading your daily tweets.
Well, I think a lot of it
controversial
is
or not.
Well, I was seeing some turmoil in my life that's pretty personal that, I mean, I certainly would have no problem telling you guys, but telling this audience, and it was reflecting some of my tweets, and I get pretty angry, annoyed tweets. I mean, I think someone would say, like, oh, it's Friday and Sunday, and I'd be like, oh, fuck off, I hope it goes rains and your grandma dies, because that's just how miserable I was becoming, and I realized that's not going to really work in the job market, so it was time to get rid of it, and I'm spilling my guts to you guys on this in case there's any questions why I haven't been tweeting. That's the exact reason why. But to a sunnier topic.
I'm not going to lie.
Go ahead, Maria.
I'm not going to lie. I usually stalk your Facebook now. Actually, I think I've always stalked your Facebook a little bit just to read the things that you post. Because they are fucking hilarious. Like, if I'm, like, drunk. Actually, I do remember a specific night where it was just me and Petey. This was probably, like, a year ago. We weren't even dating anything, and we were under the influence of something, and I, from entertainment, I told him that I just wanted to go on your Facebook and read all of your posts because they were so funny.
Well, I'm glad you guys would do that, but if we were actually friends, you'd know I've been off the book for about a month and a half because the jobs weren't coming through and I had to make a change somehow. But I have another interview tomorrow, so you might see me back on it soon.
What's the interview for you?
Well, I'm flattered you'd ask. The one logistics interview I did not get, I called them. It was kind of awkward because I called them. I just said, hey, I interviewed last week for my third interview, and things seemed to be going quite well, and I was just wondering if you guys planned on hiring me or not. They said, oh, no, we filled the position the day after your interview. I was kind of heartbroken by that. So I got motivated, and I just applied, like, I cranked out 15 applications today. I got a call for a media sales place, would pretty much we sell advertisements to magazines and newspapers. We're like the liaison between the people selling the product and the magazine and the newspaper. Go there tomorrow, and hopefully we find out, and hopefully I am employed, because Nicole just got her full-time job, so she beat me to that punch. So I have to get on, you know. And not a good day in this household that we don't have. But, Ben, we're going to get to you, because I've been pushing this back, and I was excited to talk about it last week, but you stiffed us because you had to get up at 5 in the morning after a long day of driving. Yeah. U.S. Open, one of the biggest sporting events in the country, if not the world. Was everything you imagined? Tell us a story. The floor is yours the next 5 minutes. We're not interrupting unless you tell us to.
All right, yeah. Well, you know, it was so cool to just, you know, when Wednesday finally came, that's the day me and Fat had to drive down there. It was like we bought these tickets literally last year during the U.S. Open. So it's like we knew we were going, but, you know, it still takes you here. And so it's like when the day finally got here to leave for Philadelphia, it was just like, oh, my God, we're going to the U.S. Open. So we got down there, and we actually stayed with Q's dad, Pete Quirk. He lives right in Philadelphia. We stayed with him for the first night because we didn't have a hotel for Wednesday night. Really nice guy. You know, we walked in his apartment, and he was like, oh, you know, I got a case of beer for you guys and just sandwiches, so, you know, help yourself and whatnot. Drew us a map of the local bars, and so, you know, we ended up going out with him later, watching the first game of the Stanley Cup, doing some heavy drinking in the bars, and so it's like, we got back, and it was just, you know, 5 o'clock comes early in the morning, and I was very, very hungover, but it's like, I was planning on setting an alarm, I drunkenly forgot, and so Matt came, wakes me up at like 5:45, I didn't even know what was going on, and I had not been that hungover in a long, long time. But as soon as I figured out I was going to the U.S. Open, it was A-okay. Like, everything was just fine. So, you know, we got there on Thursday, and we got to the course just before 8 o'clock in the morning. And so we went to go find Steve Stricker, Keegan Bradley, and Phil Mickelson. And so it's so cool because, you know, when we finally get there and then we're, like, on the course where all these players are competing for the national championship. And I watch the golf tournaments every week. So it's, like, you know, you see these guys and you see them play golf and then it's, like, you're standing fucking 25 feet from them and watch them play for a national championship. It was awesome. And so we got to watch them play for just under an hour before they blew the horn for a weather delay. And, I mean, it just started coming down, lightning, thunder, I mean, pouring for a good 2 hours. And, unfortunately, I neglected to bring an umbrella. So me and Matt are huddled under this one umbrella, and my left side is completely soaked. The left half of my body is just drenched, didn't do shit. And then eventually we found, like, an ATM tent to kind of hang out under until they restarted. And after that, you know, we went out, we watched some more golf, and then it was about an hour before Tiger teed off, and, you know, that was Tiger's my favorite player. I watch him every week, root for him. And so we're standing right where the players are walking off the practice green and walking to the first tee, and so, you know, Tiger walks within probably, like, 20 feet of us. And, like, I know I sound like a little girl, like, at a pop concert, but I was, like, almost lost my mind. It was fantastic, you know, just applauding, like, yeah, go Tiger. And, like, Tiger's really not much for the fans. I mean, and I understand, like, you're focused. You're trying to win a U.S. Open championship. I mean, so he didn't really even acknowledge us. But, I mean, some of the other pro golfers did. And, like, you know, they look right at you and, like, oh, thanks, guys. And it's, like, just the eye contact. It's really cool to be so close to, like, so close to the field. It's, like, they're better than courtside seats. And just, like, how the players, like, interact with you and whatnot. And so, actually, on Saturday, because you guys know about the whole Sergio Garcia and fried chicken joke.
We'll get to that when you're done with your story. Or unless you want to interject that now, because you need to have it for your story.
I do. Oh, I do kind of need to have that.
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, pretty much Tiger Woods and Sergio Garcia never really liked each other from the get-go. And a couple months, well, probably about a month ago now. They're playing in the same golf tournament. They got paired together. Sergio Garcia thought Tiger was intentionally trying to distract him during a shot. So there's banter back and forth and whatnot. And so after the tournament, Sergio was at an award ceremony, and they asked him, oh, well, at the U.S. Open, you're going to have Tiger over for dinner? And he goes, oh, yeah, I'll have him over every night. We'll have fried chicken. And so, you know, that was a big deal. And so Saturday morning, I was standing right next to the 12th tee box. Like, I mean, literally right next to it. And so Ricky Fowler and Sergio Garcia are walking up, and I just yelled. I was like, Sergio, where's the chicken? And, I mean, it was just so funny because Sergio looked at Ricky, and they both just started laughing. Like, the whole crowd started laughing. So it was pretty cool because you're so close to them that you can interact with them, and you know they hear what you're saying. Like, just so I got up to laugh, which was pretty fun. The only thing was, like, Thursday was really cool because, I mean, it was Marion, where the tournament was actually held. It's actually one of the smaller golf courses that a U.S. Open's been played on. They only allowed 25,000 people in per day at the course. But Thursday, you know, there was still really crowded, but there was room to move around. You could follow your favorite player, and you could get good seats on almost all the holes. Concession stands weren't long. Well, the lines weren't long. And then so Saturday, it was just a fucking zoo. I mean, you couldn't just, like, there was usually walkways where you can kind of get through. I mean, you couldn't move at all. In order to get anywhere of a good seat, you had to get there at, like, 10 a.m., pick one spot on the golf course, and just stay there and watch everyone kind of come through. Because you just couldn't move. It was just that big of a tournament. And I couldn't even imagine what it was like on Sunday, the final day. But, I mean, being there was an unbelievable experience. But I would almost say that, you know, watching it on TV is like, if you're actually trying to watch the golf and what's going on, you want to watch it on TV. But being there was just an unbelievable experience, and it was probably one of the best times I've ever had.
Well, I'm glad you had a great time, because I know you're a golf enthusiast, and I always make fun of you that you're one of the rare people I know under 25 who can sit home and watch 4 days of golf and not want to shoot himself afterwards. But let me ask you this question and seal your salesmanship. I'm not a big golf fan. You guys don't invite me to golf, and I wouldn't invite myself to golf either because I'm terrible and I would keep you guys held back. But to a person like myself or the casual sports fan who's not crazy about golf, why should I watch golf?
Well, you should. You know, it's tough because most of the people who are golf fans play golf, because when you get out on the course and you play, and you realize just how difficult it is, you gather such a great appreciation for the professionals who go to courses around the country and just tear it up. And to me, like, that's really cool, because I've been playing golf ever since I was a little kid. I was introduced to it by my dad. And it's like, once you know, like, how difficult, like, you know, people who would just turn on golf and kind of watch them play, they make it look so damn easy. And it's really not, but that's why they're so good at it. They make it look so easy, so people don't really understand until you get out on the golf course and try to emulate what they do. So I just think it's really cool. And, you know, they're playing for millions and millions of dollars, and it's like, it's high stakes, man, and it's just really cool to me.
And I think you have a great answer right there about if you play, gain appreciation, because, I mean, I'm a basketball crazy fan. I play four times a week. And I can sit there and watch the Bobcats and the Hornets, two teams that suck, can watch them play, whereas as the casual fan would say, this is absolutely boring, I can't watch this. And when you do play, you do gain appreciation just how talented these people are. And that's an excellent point. I don't golf, so that would make sense that I'm not really into the game. But you mentioned how you had that comment to Sergio Garcia. Now, did you think going into this tournament before you had any interaction, the guy was kind of a douchebag just from everything you had heard and read?
Well, you know what? Not necessarily. You know what? I think with the whole fried chicken joke, I'm a huge Tiger fan. I thought that what Sergio said was really funny, because I feel like that's something that I would have said. And I don't think he's a racist for saying it, because it was, first of all, he's over in the UK, and, you know, it's a war ceremony. It's like a joke. You know, I'm sure there's probably no black people at the fucking war ceremony. But he just said it kind of flippantly. He was like, oh, yeah, we fried chicken. Like, uh-huh. It's something I feel like I could really relate to it because, like, I would make a crack like that. And the only thing is, like, you just got to realize where you are. Like, should he have said it? Absolutely not. But I think it's really funny. And the only reason the Tiger took it so seriously is because he didn't like Sergio. He kind of wanted him to look like an asshole. So he succeeded in doing that. But overall, I think that was kind of funny what he said.
That was kind of my view on it, too. And I said, Sergio probably shouldn't have said it to that crowd, but to a different crowd it would have played well. And Tiger probably didn't care, but he's kind of a douchebag for acting like he cared. And he knew that by acting like he cared, he'd make Sergio look like the bad guy. But I kind of thought since you were a Tiger fan, you wouldn't really share that view. But when he laughed about it, you gained a little bit more appreciation for him. And, you know, it's a cool guy. It's a guy I could see myself having a beer with.
Yeah, I mean, it was just like he... Even early Thursday, I didn't get to see him play on Thursday, but he had hecklers kind of following him, and the cops asked him, said, like, do you want us to kick these people out? And he was like, no, because then it'll just get worse. And more, like, he said he didn't care, which is what you got to do, because you're at a golf tournament, and people are so close to you, they're gonna say shit. You just got to kind of tune it out.
Oh, that's absolutely awesome that he was that cool about that. And one last sports reference real quick. You guys, Maggie, Maria, Ben, you guys just say yeah. You guys all know who Flo Rida is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yes.
His manager, Flo Rida, is obviously from Florida. His manager has been going to these Heat-Spurs games when they're in Miami. Greg Popovich, who's a Spurs fan, I don't know if he's just doing to be a smartass or not, but he recommended or demanded that Flo Rida's manager not be allowed in to any more of the games, and Flo Rida and his manager have not been allowed in since Greg Popovich requested that they not be allowed in, which I think is actually kind of an asshole-ish move, but actually awesome that someone could have that power. Could you – go ahead.
Popovich got them banned from Heat games?
From the series.
Why? How does that work?
All he said is they were distracting his team and they were too obnoxious, and they got banned from the series.
Wow. So were they sitting like courtside right by the bench, or –
They had to have been. But I'm just picturing you sitting there screaming shit, E.J. Manuel, and him requesting that you not come to any more games and you not being allowed in. Like, I don't like the Heat, so I thought it was kind of funny, but that's such a douchebag move.
Yeah, you got to rise up. Like, you're a professional basketball coach. Like, get over that shit.
And if you're a professional rapper, how do you get back in the game and tell people, I'm not allowed at Heat games because Greg Popovich said I'm annoying? I'm a rep right now. I'm coming at Flo Rida with that line. Like, you can't even get in Heat games because some old white guy in his 70s doesn't like you. What kind of status does that say about you? You are not a baller anymore. You are a complete bum. We're going to wrap it up a little bit early. We've still got about 8 minutes left. Ben, I really liked your U.S. Open story. I mean, I think that's awesome. It's something you dreamed of going to. You're very excited about. I know I'm going to a Florida State game against Pittsburgh in the fall, and something I'm looking forward to, and it's when that day comes, I'm just going to soak it all in, man. It's going to be absolutely awesome. But, Maria, thank you for joining us again. I liked some of your Twitter stories, and I'm flattered that you and your wonderful boyfriend were big followers of mine on Twitter and Facebook. That's absolutely awesome. But is there anything going on in your life, anything you want to promote? Maybe talk a little bit more about the hoedown. If you don't want to reveal any more secrets, that's completely fine about it, too.
Well, as far as the hoedown, I just want everyone to be well aware that Maggie and I have a following more formal invitation that you will receive. And you will be getting a notice beforehand just so we make sure that you're available, I guess the word is, without giving away any secrets here. But, yeah, we're looking forward to it, and we hope to see you guys there.
And I got a lot of respect for you, too, for just keeping up the ante. A couple of my buddies in the past, they had this, like, torta keystone thing. It was a really cool idea, but they would order and gear and stuff like that, but none of them ever put their foot forward and, like, made it happen. You guys were talking about this hoedown. We did it 1 year, and you could have just let it die then, but you just kept it going. And, like, this year, I'm legitimately pumped. I mean, I graduated from college and, like, shit, just looking for a job, that's not fun, but this hoedown is something I'm getting amped up for. Maggie, if you want to expand on that or talk about your graduation weekend that we're all looking forward to, or anything else you want to add, go for it.
Well,
people can also get excited because the theme's expanding a little bit this year as far as the hoedown goes. So that will also be revealed in the, I mean, it still goes with the theme, but it will be revealed in the invitation that is to follow. So everyone can get excited about that too. But yeah, anybody who is available this Saturday, give me a call and join us at the Bisons game. It's going to be a blast.
Well, unfortunately, it's not going to be too big of a blast because Big Ben Jackson's got to work.
Yeah, we're working on that situation.
Well, I'm sure it can be handled.
I was really kind of bummed about that, though, because I got the text while in Philly with Matt McCoy. We were in the hotel room. And it was funny because on the way down to Philly, we were talking about, oh, we should go to a Bisons game sometime, like, just to check it out. And then when I got that text, and I was just like, fuck, I got to work. So I'm really bummed about that because it sounds like a really fun time.
Nah, dude, like, people hate on baseball, and it's not always easy to watch on TV. But when I was interning for the Syracuse Crunch and the news station, like, going to baseball games, it's fun, man. You can have beers. The weather's nice out. You don't have to totally be in tune with it. Like, if it's football or basketball, you're completely intense. That's your squad. You're amped up. But baseball, you just relax, crack some jokes, get some beers. It's where to be, and that's why I'm very excited to go to this game. I don't know who they're playing, and I don't really care who they're playing because I'm going to be with the people I love. Looking forward to it, celebrating Miss Maggie Shaw's graduation. Not even her undergrad graduation, her graduate graduation, if I'm not mistaken. It makes me really feel like shit. But Maggie, Maria, not to beat a dead horse, but you guys got to come over and see Bill. Bill's going to be full grown by the time you guys see Bill. Ben saw Bill.
We need an invitation time and day. I haven't seen you since I've been back, even. I've been back for like 2.5 weeks, which
is
fucking ridiculous.
And I don't go to school, so pretty available and bumming it up to the extreme. Like, I'm really pushing that bum status.
Sounds like it.
But I should probably start applying to jobs right now and end the show, because if I don't, I'm not going to have a job, and hanging out with Bill is only going to get cute for so long. So thank you, everyone, for joining us on Title Pending. Ben Jackson, thank you for talking to US Open. And girls, thanks for informing us about the hoedown. I'm looking forward to that invitation and seeing a surprise. Good night, all.
Oh, yeah.
All right, see you. Okay.